I was all ready this week to share a story about what it is like to be in the wilderness, about those feelings that can come of not feeling entirely safe, about feeling unsure of which direction to go. The feeling that settles at the pit of your stomach when you realize that you are out of your depth and that there are forces around you that are outside of your control. Because my sense is that in our paved and power-gridded domesticity, we have lost a sense of what that wildness is like. And then Ash Wednesday, and the news breaking of the mass shooting that was taking place in Parkland, Florida, and the streams of images and videos. And once again, the feelings of powerlessness and the unbearable. And I realized that I didn't need to tell a story about the wilderness in order for us to understand what's happening this morning as Jesus enters into this wilderness for his time of testing. We need to remember that Mark's gospel, this first of these accounts of the good news of Jesus the Christ, is written in the heart of the Roman Empire, likely at a time of intense persecution. This is the context that this gospel is written in, the only gospel that has the wild beasts in the desert. And it is no wonder then that this is the scene for Jesus to understand his purpose in this world, where we see the struggle between wild beasts and angels. And it was this week that my understanding of this kingdom of God in Mark's gospel shifted. As I read this commentary by a biblical scholar named Clifton Black, and he writes that in Mark's gospel in particular, this kingdom of heaven or this reign of God is about power and not place. It's about power and not place. It's about power, how it is used, and what it is used for. And Jesus comes to proclaim an alternative way of power. Because the power that has been used for millennia by dictators and empires and really any sort of abuser is the power of force and of might, of projection, of domination, to frighten, diminish, and control. And fundamentally, a weapon is a means of exerting your will over and against another. Right? It's whatever the weapon is, that is its purpose, whether you are using it for revenge or theft or protection or a proposed end to conflict. And so these guns that have been used, particularly used to hunt humans, these military-grade weapons used to murder children, are being used as part of this power. And it's not just Parkland or Columbine or Virginia Tech or Newtown. It's also the day-to-day violence that boils over in Chicago, and Richmond, and Oakland. It's also the same power that uses bodies as weapons. Right? We're seeing this as the Me Too movement ripples further and further and further out. That a body can be used as a weapon to control and to deform and to destroy. It is in this reality that Jesus of Nazareth entered in. And in the face of this kind of power, refused to confront with coercive power and with violent force. Instead, he teaches, he feeds, he challenges, he heals, using his words, using his hands, using his presence. He transforms the fear, the pain, the suffering, the despair. This is the power of the reign of God. You may have heard, either in sermons or through your own biblical study, that in biblical Greek, there is two kinds of time. One kind of time is chronos, and this is the kind of time that we are most used to. It is the way of measuring out time in seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years. It is the time that undergirds our calendars and our appointment books. It sets school bells and stopwatches. This is not the kind of time that Jesus was proclaiming. Because there is another kind of time that Jesus uses in this gospel, in this good news, when he proclaims that the time is fulfilled. And this Greek word here used is kairos. Kairos is of place and time. Kairos is the time of opportunity. Kairos is the cup filled to overflowing. What will happen next? Kairos, as one scholar teaches, is the time of critical decision. Kairos is the time of critical decision. And it's my sense that we encounter these moments of kairos all the time, but we do not always see them. And we certainly do not always act upon them. And yet there they are, this time of critical decision, this crossroads of choice. What moment of kairos are you in right now? Which paths forward do you face? What moment of kairos are we in right now as a nation? What is it that we face, this crossroads of choice? Will there be a different path forward? I don't know what your week was like this past week from Wednesday afternoon on. But for me, once again, I found myself feeling powerless. And once again, I found myself withdrawing and entering into despair. For anyone who had to drop off your child at school this week, or anyone who loves someone who had to drop some child off to school this week, it was hard. And I found myself going back to that all too familiar place of feeling like, well, this is just who our nation is. We were formed in violent armed struggle, and maybe that weight of history is too much to bear. And I found myself retreating to that place of, well, the forces that make profit off of unregulated gun and ammunition sales just hold too much sway. Or that place of strategically understanding that the votes in our Congress are just not there. And then I heard the voices of those courageous young women and young men as they refused to be another pin in the map of American terror by gun violence. and they began to speak. And as they spoke, I felt in me this opening of the Spirit, and this possibility of turning around. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is a willingness, a desire to turn around and to believe again. Right? Belief, as Jesus proclaimed it, is not about creedal statements. It's not about cognitive assent. Belief, as Jesus proclaimed it, is about trust. Trust that this gospel, that this good news remains true. Trust that even in these places where the wild beasts are around us and within us, that the Spirit abides. Trust that as we go forward in faith, that there will be unexpected friends and unlikely allies with us. And finally, trust that this power, this reign of God that reclaims, renews, and resurrects, trust that this reign of God is waiting for us.